Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What's better for you, to obey what God says or to offer God some sacrifice? In fact, we ought to stop offering God sacrifices. What I mean by that is we'll say things to God like, Lord, I'm sorry I did that or didn't do that. And if you forgive me, then I'll tithe all next year. As if God's like, well, I've been a little low on cash. All right, I'll forgive you.
Obedience is so much more pleasing to God than sacrifice, because obedience says, Lord, I may not want to do this, but I'm going to do this because I want what you want in my life and I trust you completely. May we walk in obedience today, knowing how very much God loves us. With 1 Samuel 15, part 2, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Saul is the guy who breaks his arm, patting himself on the back. He blows his own trumpet. Doo, 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 doo. I'm a great guy. I got a statue of me right here. And people that are like this, that they do what they do to get attention for themselves and then make monuments for themselves, or can't stop telling you how great they are. I hope none of you here are like this, but have you ever known anybody like that? No matter what the conversation is, it's going to come back to them and how awesome they are. There's a comedian named Brian Regan. You guys know who he is? He's a clean comedian. He's not a Christian comedian, but he's a clean comedian. And he talks about this phenomena of somebody always having to one-up. You tell them something and they want to one-up you. And you tell them something, they got to one-up you. And he says, you know, I wish that I would have went to the moon. Because then when somebody told me something, I could say, well, I went to the moon. And they could not one-up him at that point. Saul's the kind of guy that would one-up you on every single level he can. I just finished a book on Ulysses S. Grant. It's a great book, and it speaks of the character of him in his, and I'll keep this brief. This is one of the areas I've gone astray and lost some time here. But he, of course, became the commander, lieutenant general, which only George Washington had that level of rank other than Ulysses S. Grant. He became lieutenant general over a million-man army and won the Civil War and freed the slaves. Yes, with Lincoln and what Lincoln was doing, but he was the man who put boots on the ground and actually freed the slaves. And both him and Lincoln were abolitionists, and the freedom came by them. When he ran for president after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and Andrew Johnson, is that the right president? That was just a miserable failure afterwards. When Reconstruction started, he could have made it so much easier. I don't even know that we're completely complete with what they called the freed men, with black people having the proper place in the United States today that they should have. I don't know that we've done that, but they could have done it right then. In fact, when Grant became president, he was president twice. See, here I go. I'm off on a tangent. He became president twice, and he passed a civil rights bill that surpassed the civil rights bill of the 1960s. It was overturned. He got rid of segregation. He made it illegal for anybody to turn anybody down for the color of their skin. They got the right to vote right away. He made voting rights so that they couldn't be stopped. The South started the Ku Klux Klan during this time to try to cause terror, a campaign of terror, so that black people were not able to vote. Jim Crow laws came in later on and turned everything over. When he became president two times, he got the nomination without running for it. He had been the greatest general the United States has seen. And they nominated him as president, and he didn't campaign. And in the first term, he barely won. In the second term, he didn't ask to be nominated again, and they nominated him, and he didn't campaign, and he won overwhelmingly. He just was not self-promoting in any way, shape, or form. That's the kind of guy that he was. He wasn't self-promoting in the army, asking to get promotions, and he wasn't self-promoting to become president. It kind of happened because of the character he had. He also had problems. He had to overcome alcoholism, and he did. He was an alcoholic as a young man. He overcame it, partially because of his public life. It was just such an embarrassment. He had to overcome it. So it wasn't perfect. And I don't know why I'm all the way down this rabbit trail, but it's to say, what a contrast you have between somebody who won't promote himself running for president of the United States, won't even go out and give a speech, and gets elected, and a guy that builds a statue and says, I'm great. Check me out. How great I am. He builds a monument to himself. I spent way too much time on that. And then it says he went around and passed by and went down to Gilgal. He went around Samuel. He wanted to avoid him. He knew he didn't keep what he had said. Then Samuel went to Saul. Samuel goes Saul hunting, finds him in Gilgal, and said to him, Saul says, blessed are you of the Lord. How gross. It says earlier, God says, Saul has departed from following me. Now when he sees a man of God, Samuel, blessed are you of the Lord. He acts like he's spiritual. It reminds me of the Pharisees of the days of Jesus, who weren't following God at all, but they walked around looking spiritual, dressing spiritual, and acting spiritual as if they were better than everybody else. And Jesus said to us in the church, don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't say God bless you just to say it. Don't try to impress people with super spiritual things. I'm not saying you don't say God bless you. All I'm saying is that really mean it. And if you are in one life not living for God, don't pretend on another level. Those hypocrites held the harshest words from Christ. And it's the last thing that we want. Be who you are. Be honest and be real. And don't put on a spiritual game. Don't act like you're spiritual when you're not. And when you say, the Lord bless you, really mean the Lord bless you. Let it be something meaningful. Kind of like we could go and say amen. We pray and we go amen. Amen means so be it. That's pretty powerful. We come to an end of a prayer, we could say amen, so be it. But so often it's just amen. Last night at the end of the service, a gal was getting ready to leave and she came up to me and she said, God bless you. She goes, I really mean it. God bless you. She had taken what I had said in a real way, saying, I really want God to bless you. I really want you to be blessed by God. If we're going to act spiritual, let's be spiritual. And if we're not, then let's not pretend. We got to be honest before God. What a lesson to learn here. And then he says this, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Saying you've done what God wants you to do doesn't mean you've done it. The Bible says, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer. I performed the service of the Lord, but Samuel said, what then is the bleating of the sheep in the ears and the lowing of oxen that I hear? Samuel's incredibly old. He was old a decade ago. And I think that Saul thought, I can pull the wool over this old man's eyes. He's old. And Samuel says, why do I hear sheep and cows then? If you took them all and you did what the Lord said. And Samuel said, oh, they have been brought from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. Saul hasn't changed at all in 10 years. I didn't want to bring them. The people brought them. Yeah, but you're the king and you could have stopped them. And it says to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. We wanted to bring the best to sacrifice to God. Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. And in the first couple of times I taught this, I missed that. He tells him, shut up. I don't know if it was that direct, but be quiet, he says. And I will tell you what the Lord has spoken to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. He's the king. Speak on. You tell me what God said. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? When you didn't think anything of yourself, didn't God make you the king? And did not the Lord anoint you as king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of my kids when their room was a mess and I'd say, go clean it up. And I don't know what they did, but they didn't clean it. I just put a couple things away. And I'd walk back in and I'd go, I told you to clean your room. And they'd go, I did clean the room. That's what it reminds me of. Why didn't you obey the voice? I did obey the voice of the Lord. He says, and gone on this mission which the Lord has sent me, and I brought back Agag, the king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I did go on. I did destroy the Amalekites, and I brought back the king Agag, and I did destroy the Amalekites. The crazy thing is he doesn't even see it. I think when he says, I did, he thinks he did. But the people took the plunder. The people's fault, not mine. The people took the plunder of the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things that they should utterly destroy, and go and sacrifice to the Lord your God at Gilgal. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What's better for you, to obey what God says or to offer God some sacrifice? In fact, we ought to stop offering God sacrifices. What I mean by that is we'll say things to God like, Lord, I'm sorry I did that or didn't do that. And if you forgive me, then I'll tithe all next year. As if God's like, well, I've been a little low on cash. All right, I'll forgive you. Do you think you can purchase forgiveness of God with some sacrifice? Lord, if you forgive me of this sin, I'll work in the Sunday school again for a year. What do you have that you can buy from God? Lord, I'll read my Bible every day. God's like, it's a bestseller. It's pretty good. But what do you have that you can offer him? What is there that God needs that you don't have anything? You know what needs to happen? Not sacrifices. David said it in Psalm 51 when he repented from Bathsheba. He said, you don't desire sacrifices or I would give them. But the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. What God wants you is to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've done this. I'm sorry I'm weak. I'm sorry that I did these things. Forgive me. And don't make excuses with the circumstances around it. There's always circumstances around the temptation that lead you into sin. Forget saying those. Just come to him and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. The middle of verse 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed than the fat of rams, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity. He says, it's like you committed witchcraft, Saul. It's like you've committed idolatry because you are rebellious and you are stubborn. Now, from that verse, a lot of pastors have said, all sin is the same. Whatever sin you commit, it's the same. Stealing from somebody is as bad as murdering somebody. And I gotta say, that is... How bold can I be here? That is just not right. I'll be nice. That is just not right. Because to steal from somebody is not as bad as murdering them. And you will be punished more for murdering someone than stealing for somebody. To say that they are the same is just wrong. What is similar with the two is they will both separate you from God. If you are in witchcraft and if you are rebellious, you will be separated from God. If you are stubborn and you are an idolater, you will be separated from God. It doesn't mean that the punishment for those sins or the consequences from those sins are equal. And when people go down that line and start to teach it, I heard it on the radio not that long ago, and I found myself screaming at the radio. Probably look like a maniac, screaming at the radio that all sin is not the same. It's just such a general statement people make, all sin is the same. No. There's a similarity among all sin that it can separate you from God, but there is differences in sin. That's my soapbox for the day. Verse 24, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Well, wait a minute. Saul just said something right. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. That's the second thing he said right. And your words. What's going on here? Is Saul repenting? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Oh, so close. It was just so close to being right. Had he just not said, because I feared the people, it's the people's fault I sinned. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I might worship the Lord. All of a sudden, we see why he's saying he's sorry. Because he's got to turn around and go back to the people. And Samuel's a great prophet in the land. And he wants Samuel by his side. He has turned into, you ready for this? A politician. I'll tell you what's kind of funny is, 12 years ago when we taught this chapter, I said that and people moaned. I said, Saul, Samuel's a politician. People went, oh. Now, on all the services, people laugh. I don't know what's changed in those 12 years, but something has changed. The people are responding differently to it. But Samuel said to Saul, now Samuel lets him have it. Samuel doesn't hold nothing back now. Kings aren't used to people talking to them this way. Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord. That's the problem. You've rejected God's word, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. When you reject God's word, when you say, I don't want to do what God wants me to do, I don't want to do what the Bible says to do, then God will reject what you could do for him. I'm not saying that you don't have heaven. That's for God to make decisions on, not for me. But I'm saying that when you reject God's word, then God will reject you from the call, the plan, the purpose of your life. And many Christians never live it out because they have rejected God's word. You have rejected God's word, he says, and so God has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned around to go away, and Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, Samuel's a prophet, and prophets are always dramatic. The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day. Saul seizes the robe of Samuel. Don't you walk away from me, and his robe tears. Samuel looks at the tear and says, so God has torn the kingdom from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And then he says, this thing can't be changed. And also the strength of Israel, that's God, the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. So now Saul knows for sure that the kingdom's going to be taken from him and given him to another. When he begins to look around to who it could be, he settles on David. And so what does this man Saul try to do for the next 10 years? Try to kill David. He goes from being a man who doesn't care about the word of God to trying to subvert God by killing the man that God has chosen. And I don't need to say you can't do that. It's just not going to work. You're fighting against God. You think God's going to be defeated by Saul? Oops, Saul got me. Man, can't believe it. Wish he wouldn't have thrown that spear at David. Can't believe it. Then he said, I've sinned. Oh, here we are again. Yet honor me now, please, before the elders of the people. He cares about his reputation. That's all. This isn't confession. He just wants Samuel to go back with him and return with me that I may go and worship the Lord. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Now, the way I read that is Samuel went with him, which I don't understand why. Maybe the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Maybe that's it. Maybe Saul was just like, meh, Samuel's funny. Fine. If you'll stop, I'll go. But he goes with him. And Samuel said, bring Agag the Amalekite here to me. And so Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so your mother will be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. But Samuel said, I'll obey what the Lord says. Then verse 34, and Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul, it says, goes to his house in Gibeah. That's where we found Saul way back in the early chapters, in Benjamin, in Gibeah of Saul. Saul goes home. Samuel goes to the word of the Lord. Well, those are our decisions as we leave this place today. We can go to God's word. We could say, Lord, I don't know completely what your word says, but if you speak, I'll do it. Speak to me and I'll do it. And I believe God will speak to you if you have that. Or you could just go home and say, I want to do what I want to do, and this doesn't matter to me. It says, and Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death, which is an interesting story in itself. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Warren Wiersbe, you guys know who Warren Wiersbe is? He since went to be with the Lord, but he was a great author. He wrote a lot of commentaries called the Be Joyful, Be Success, just the different beasts, you know, commentaries that are out there. And he wrote a book on the life of King Saul called Don't Lose Your Crown. I don't even think it's in print anymore. I have a copy of it on my desk now as I'm going through this, I'm reading it. And on this chapter, he says that Saul substituted five things for five other things in this chapter. I'm going to close by reading to you what Warren Wiersbe says Saul substituted. He says, Saul substituted in this chapter saying rather than doing. He said he did it rather than actually doing it, That's never going to get you anywhere. He substituted excuses rather than confession. Confession will get you everywhere. Excuses will get you nowhere. He substituted sacrifice rather than obedience. I'll give you a sacrifice, God. I haven't been obedient. I'll give you a sacrifice. He was more concerned over his reputation rather than character. Character will sort out the reputation in the end. If you're the kind of man, the kind of woman who says, I want to do what's right. I want to treat people the right way. I want to do what's right. Your reputation may take a hit. What people think of you might take a hit. But in the end, your character will win out. He cared about his reputation. And to those people in his army, he probably looked pretty good because Samuel went back and stood by him and hacked Agag to pieces. Probably looked pretty good to those people. But we're studying a man who lived 3,000 years ago, and we look at him and go, he was an awful guy. His reputation hasn't held up. Character, doing the right thing, will hold up in time. Finally, he says that he substituted his will rather than the will of God. And we're taught to pray, our Father who art in heaven, holy be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus prayed in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, 3 times. That we could say to him today, Lord, I want to be obedient. And the commandments of the Lord aren't burdensome. That's what the Bible says. They're not burdensome. When you say, I'm going to be obedient to you, God's not going, oh, now you're in for it. Now you're in trouble because you said you'd be obedient. No, the commands of the Lord aren't burdensome. And when you submit to the will of God, God does some pretty amazing things. I'm done right on time. Stand with me and pray. Father, we're so blessed by your word. It really is rich and challenges us. And especially here with this chapter with Saul, we see so many mistakes that he makes, so many paths he goes down that he shouldn't go down. And it ends up with him being rejected by you. We don't want to reject your word. We want to receive it. We want to do it. We don't want to say we did it and don't do it. We don't want to reject it. We don't want to put up monuments for ourselves. We want to trust in you. We don't want to pretend we're spiritual when we're not. We don't want to run around like Pharisees acting spiritual when in reality we're not. We want to be genuine in how we live for you. And so we pray that in all of these things, you would do a work in us and help us to take this study full of so much information and apply it in the right way. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our 2 campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram @CalvaryTucson or Facebook @Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
I wanted to have a stronger walk with Jesus. I wanted a better understanding of the Bible, and that's why I decided to enroll at Reach College of Ministry. The Bible study methods was only 8 weeks long, but it was life-changing. Both the instructor and course material met me right where I was at and gave me new tools to have a much better grasp of Scripture. Most importantly, my relationship with Jesus grew even stronger. I'm confident your experience will be life-changing. Attend in person or online from the comfort of your own home. Go to thereachcollege.org to start your journey. That's thereachcollege.org.